Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Okay. We're going to return this week to a favorite topic of ours, which is screening for disease, and an even more closely favorite topic of mine, which is the PSA. Research, lots of it now, has shown that there are steps people can take to improve the quality and the length of their life even before they're having any symptoms, and this is what we call screening. Unfortunately, with all of these screening tests, the devil is in the details, and many possible screening programs turn out not to do any good, and in fact, some may even cause harm. And that's why virtually all public health panels, be they in the United States or elsewhere, do not recommend that men get a PSA test. A blood test that isn't adequately accurate can fail to find disease that's present, leading to what we call false reassurance or false positives. Such a test can also find disease when it's not really there, leading to unnecessary use of other tests, in this case like biopsies, so that the screening tests are not so benign. Perhaps most concerning, the PSA test frequently identifies something that qualifies as cancer under a microscope to our pathology friends, but it really acts nothing like a cancer in real life. That is to say, the large majority of PSA-discovered cancers are never going to cause any problem whatsoever if they're detected. The men will die with the cancer, not of the cancer. So because doctors can't tell which of these is benign, which it usually is, or might occasionally be one of the bad actors in terms of causing cancers, we go through a process of shared decision-making. And there have been lots of studies, as I mentioned, that have looked at this. Two or three or four recent studies have contributed to our knowledge, and this week our poem is going to look at an analysis, a systematic review of those that are randomized controlled trials. This was published in the BMJ, and the clinical question that the study attempts to answer is, does screening for prostate cancer decrease overall mortality or mortality from prostate cancer specifically? Mark, what did they find? A big study, big group of men, huh?
Well, several big studies, and this was based on a systematic review that was initially published in 2006. Back then, there were only two studies that met their inclusion criteria. And since then, of course, we've had four huge studies published, or at least two huge studies published. The European, what is their acronym? The European Randomized Study of Screening for Prostate Cancer, and then our very own United States Prostate Lung Colon Ovary, or PLCO, trial. And the first one had 162,000 patients, and the PLCO had 76,000. So 800-pound gorillas got published, really changed the landscape. And so this analysis updates that systematic review for the Cochrane Library, and they found two other studies, so they're now a total of six randomized trials with 350,000 patients comparing screening with no screening in asymptomatic men. They did the usual kind of Cochrane search, two investigators independently searching and abstracting data, and they basically, that of those 350,000, 160,000 or 46% were from that European trial. So that really is going to be an important weight on the evidence. Study quality was moderate for most studies, and four of the studies looked at the effect of screening on all-cause mortality. Two of them only looked at disease-specific mortality. But if you look at all-cause mortality, which is the really important outcome, they found no benefit to screening when patients were followed from between 9 and 14 years, combining the data from these different studies. Death from prostate cancer also wasn't decreased by screening, although there was some heterogeneity, and in particular, the European study showed some disease-specific benefit to screening, but the PLCO, which wasn't quite as long, did not. You know, not surprisingly, those in the screened arm were much more likely to be diagnosed for and treated for prostate cancer than those in the unscreened arm. And of course, that means more men are exposed to some of the harms and adverse effects of treatment. Now, you know, this isn't really stated in the abstract, but I mean, there were some issues with the ERSPC and PLCO in terms of crossovers that may have mitigated the ability to see some benefit. And there's an argument that, well, if they only followed them 15 years or 20 years, you would begin to see more benefit. But certainly neither of these could in any way be construed a sign of the benefit of screening for prostate cancer. Bottom line that, you know, these in the past 4 years, these four new studies with over 350,000 men have confirmed what we've been saying, that screening in asymptomatic men doesn't decrease all-cause mortality, and because of the important harms, needs to be, at a minimum, a shared decision.
None of the groups, as I mentioned in my introduction, no scholarly group recommends PSA testing. That is, you know, to be differentiated from that, they don't recommend it. What they do recommend is this shared decision-making, and unfortunately, to have this kind of a discussion with an adult male takes a fair amount of time. So it is time-consuming, but given that the pros and the cons are so significant, it is worth the time. And patient satisfaction increases enormously as a result of having this kind of a discussion and having them feel as though they participated in making this decision.
There's maybe more information coming. The United States Preventive Services Task Force is going to be addressing PSA screening and prostate cancer screening. Interestingly, they were supposed to address it at the meeting today. I'm speaking on November 2nd. Actually, they were going to be doing it on November 1st and 2nd was the meeting. And preliminary reports from members of the task force stated that they were considering lowering the recommendation from an I to a D for prostate cancer screening, which would have obviously been a real bombshell. And there was political pressure, apparently, although it's been denied by the chair, to move the meeting to March so that it doesn't have as much of a political effect. And one of my friends, Kenny Lynn, who's a family physician, works at AHRQ on the task force or with the task force. He actually wrote the prostate cancer systematic review the last time. He actually just quit the agency over this politicization of the task force recommendations. There's a lot going on, and we're going to be hearing a lot. The Wall Street Journal covered his resignation in their blog.
Very hard to separate the science from the politics and the advocacy mm-hmm. groups, and it puts our listeners in a very difficult position where they've got to try to do what they think is best, but it often is in conflict with, you know, with what patients think or want or what advocacy groups are pushing.
And the last two CME courses that I was speaking at, these were sort of local regional medical meetings where they asked me to come and give a talk on diabetes or something. And I would listen to the urologist talk, and their bottom line message, their takeaway message was, we really should start screening most men at age 40 with PSA. The word has not gotten out, and that's what local physicians are often hearing from local so-called experts who don't know their hat from a hole in the ground regarding the data, but certainly do know which side their bread is buttered on, and it's very disappointing to hear that when I go to these meetings.
I do think that the issue with the urologists is not that the word hasn't gotten out, but that they have a conflict of interest in this particular issue. And anyways, we'll keep our eyes on this, and we'll talk more about this as the days and weeks progress. Thanks, Mark.
All right, thank you.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.